Down south, they say it's the economy, stupid. Up here, we say it's the economy, eh? And this is Political Economy Radio, a progressive take on economic issues in Canada and beyond. My name is Michał Rozwodski, and welcome to the show. Greece continues to be in flux. 2 weeks ago, the Greek people voted over 60% no in a referendum on further austerity. 1 week ago, the Greek government agreed to a new memorandum in principle after an all-night negotiation described at times as mental waterboarding. Finally, last Wednesday, the first pieces of enabling legislation were passed by the Greek parliament, with a large rebellion of Syriza MPs voting against the laws. Since then, debate has raged in and outside Greece about the future of the Eurozone, the political strategy chosen by the Syriza leadership, and the future of this first government of the left in post-crisis Europe. This interview with John Milios, who's my guest this week, is an important intervention into this debate. John Milios is a longtime activist and prominent figure within Syriza. Until early this year, he was the chief economic advisor of the party. He is also a member of the party's central committee and was one of the 109 out of 201 members of the central committee who signed a letter published last week opposing the new memorandum. He is a professor of political economy and the history of economic thought at the National Technical University of Athens. Here is John Milios. What's the situation right now as it stands a week after the memorandum?
Well, a week after the memorandum, it's also a week or something after the referendum. The question was if the Greek people want the government to sign a memorandum or to insist in not putting forward austerity policies. And we had all private televisions advocating, doing propaganda in favor of, yes, we want a memorandum. So what we saw before the agreement was an electoral campaign which had absolutely class, social characteristics. There were two Greeces, if I may use this work, the word, fighting each other. They were the poor people, the wage earners, the unemployed, the small entrepreneurs. And on the other hand, we had the capitalists, the cadres and the CEOs or the officers of the private enterprises, also of some public enterprises, the higher rankings of the state and so on, only all of these people saying yes. And we had also big demonstrations. The demonstration of Ohi was the biggest that I have seen in my life. And on the other hand, we had comparatively big demonstrations of the yes supporters. So we had practically a class conflict. If I formulate it better, the proletariat and the poor people, and also a broader coalition of the social majority, saw the referendum as a chance to express their commitment not to continue with austerity and neoliberalism. And this happened in a conjuncture, in a situation of terror, because the central bank, the European Central Bank, didn't raise the European Liquidity Assistance, the so-called ELA, to the Greek banks, and the people, a lot of people were seeing it as a terror situation, and they started withdrawing money from the banks, and so the banks had to close. We had to have a bank vacation, as it happened in the United States and in other countries of the developed world in the 30s. with Roosevelt and so on. So under this terror situation and under this propaganda, 61.3% of the people decided to vote for no.
And so how has this result been carried forward to today?
I think the referendum has been a mistake by the Tsipras administration, because my personal view is that Tsipras wanted to sign the referendum, the memorandum, wanted to sign the memorandum. This is my personal view. I cannot prove it, but I have the feeling that Tsipras, or if not Tsipras himself, the majority of the government, who put a very strong pressure on Tsipras, wanted to sign the memorandum, and they had estimated what the polls were actually forecasting, that the result of the referendum was going to be 50-50 or a small victory of no, and so the government would be able to say that the society is divided, half of the people or nearly half want us to sign because they see the crisis is too harsh. And so they are going to, they had the legitimization, to the political legitimization to sign the memorandum. But what happened was extraordinary. This is the question of the future. The government transformed the 61.3% no into 83% yes in the state, that is in the parliament, and went and signed the referendum. And I am saying all this because I see a red line passing through the politics of this government from the first moment. They thought that they could govern as before the crisis. And what they have put forward was a type of government which was in the form of the national unity government. That is, they said that the major issue is a recession, and austerity is a false policy because it causes a reduction of effective demand and therefore of recession. I personally think that all this analysis is completely wrong. In cases of a crisis, especially, always, but especially in cases in conjuncture of crisis, the capitalist class, has no other means to come out of the crisis in its own way, but by curtailing costs per unit product by all means. And there are two ways to curtail costs per unit product: reduction of the labor costs, that is austerity, and a reduction of material costs or capital costs, which again, if you see it in a short sight fashion, is recessionary. Because let us imagine that the whole industry reduces by half the use of raw materials and petroleum and so on, gas and what they need as energy. What is going to happen to the energy sector and also to the raw material sector and so on and so forth? But this is not the way that capitalism works. Capitalism works through a continuous reshuffling of the a relation of forces, and this government did not realize that if they wanted to be a government of the working people, of the working class, they had to follow a policy from the beginning, which was should not discuss about development or recession in general, but first of all, seek alternative ways to promote the production of of goods of use values to the people, and I'm talking about cooperative schemes of opening the closed factories or enterprises of the service sector and services sector and so on, and also a very tough and just tax system which should redistribute wealth and income to the favor of the working people as a goal per se, not only as a method to come out of the crisis, because the actual question is out of the crisis in favor of whom?
What are the barriers to such measures, to implementing such measures for the Greek economy?
Now, through the memoranda, Greece has changed its character as a society and as an economy partially, has become more like a Latin American economy. That is a dual economy. There is a section of the population that is being excluded. We have seen a very high increase in profits due to the austerity policies. We have seen through privatizations and the extreme neoliberal policies that there are some very good chances for capital, for private capital to enter into what has been the public sector or the sectors of public goods, which is something different. And of course, in the late months of the previous year, of the year 2014, we have seen positive growth rates, an increase in employment, a reduction of unemployment, because as Karl Marx says, there are no permanent crises. But the question is, how does a society come out of a crisis? So we see profits increasing, we see a centralization of capital as small enterprises close the one after the other, and there is a concentration also of retail trade, for example, into big malls and big chains of retail sellers and so on. We have a different situation. What we used to describe as the European social model appears now like a bad joke. It's a pity that this government, who had a completely different program, was forced to attain this policy, that is, to become a government of capital, to continue the policies of previous governments, and to have the people fight against it.
There's a tension here between, on the one hand, the negotiation with Europe, which seems very separate to the framing of just looking at what's happening internally to the economy. And I think that's been part of your analysis the whole time, that austerity, you know, that we shouldn't focus so much on the European negotiations because this was an internal sort of class based
yes.
Project.
I fully understand your question. You are right to posit this question. There are two sides of your question. The one side is the following sub-question. For whom are the Europeans fighting for? Are they fighting just to collect some money from all debts given to the Greek public, the public sector? My answer is no. They will never collect this debt to the whole. They know it. They have started discussing about debt restructuring or monetization of the debt, so that you know. For whom are they fighting for? My answer is they are fighting for the European integration in the form of a neoliberal Europe in each and every country. They were fighting for the Greek capitalists, but also for the capitalists of other countries, because they didn't want to allow a different, an alternative example in the Eurozone. And the second part of the question is that, of course, the European participation and the European integration plays a very important role in promoting these policies, and is in a way functions as a trap for a government that wants to follow policies in favor of the people. And this comes from the following fact, not from the fact that many countries or more than one countries have the same currency, but from the fact that the European Central Bank deliberately does not function as a lender of the last resort and a money maker of the last resort. That is, does not borrow the public sectors of the member states, and so allows us practically nearly the only way in order to cope it with the fiscal problem in case of crisis, austerity, that is reduction of the welfare state, of the wages, and so on. But that is, if I reformulate the same idea, they have deliberately put all the countries in a default risk, the default risk, in order to promote the neoliberal agenda.
So we have the ECB acting as, you know, a purely sort of political institution as well, not just, as you say, not a lender of last resort, not fulfilling this sort of standard economic function. How possible then is it to actually take this other stance of, you know, of an internal kind of reworking of the economy as a response to crisis, when you have the potential for default, when you need the loans, you know, when you need more loans just to pay off creditors, when you have your banks that can be shut by this political institution? Is there another strategic road that could have been gone down, that could still be gone down?
Okay, I think that there was another strategic road. And this road was from the first moment that this left government came to power to start creating state revenue by taxing the rich, if I may say it in one word. This also contains combating corruption, combating smuggling of petroleum and tobacco products, because we have these problems, and we haven't seen a lot done by the new government, although we had this as a major point in our programs. So the first thing is this one. And the second issue was to say to the Europeans, look, we have here a program. You have a structure in the Eurozone that is that each country has to deal with its fiscal problems, if there are any fiscal problems, by itself. And when it cannot manage these problems, then you say, I'm going to give you a loan, but under the conditionality that you follow very harsh austerity and austerity policies, privatizations, and so on. We do not agree with this program because the people voted differently, and we are a democratic country. You see that we have started creating state revenues by another way, and we are sorry. You haven't given the tracks, the tranches what we have agreed in the past as a financing program to the country since August 2014. So we are sorry, we cannot pay any debt obligations, neither to the IMF nor to the ECB. The Greek government reached this position and delayed a payment to the IMF in at the end of June, and it's without being financed as expected, as agreed in the past. It gave more than 7 billion euros, that is more than 3% of the GDP, to the debtors during these periods. The government should keep this money, should start delaying payments since January or at least February, and say we need a new program because we have these problems. We are going to lose to have primary surpluses, that is resolve our fiscal problem through our own way by taxing the rich. And the financial problem, that is paying the debtors, should be tackled by another program which should not contain austerity. We are sorry, we cannot pay. At that time, the Greek banks were in a much better condition. During the months of the Syriza government, the Greek households sent abroad more than 41 billion euros. I have to tell you one number which I think it's very important. The Greek banks, the money in the Greek banks, all forms of deposits are now 120 billion euros, 120. Before the crisis, they were 230. The Bank of International Settlements estimates, or has calculated, this is the better formulation, has calculated that Greek households possess, have a net financial position of 250 billion euros. Net financial position means all forms of deposits minus private debt. The middle classes and also the rich have sent their money away even before the crisis, before Syriza's electoral victory. But this process has been accelerated after the situation became a little bit obscure, because we had this agreement that was coming and was coming month after month, and the people, the government was saying to the people, we are going to have an agreement, but the debtors are blackmailing us, and so on. So they should have started in another way, this is my opinion, and the result could be much better. Of course, as you understand, you cannot be sure about anything unless you try it. But I am confident there should be and there could be another course.
What about what happens now? Now that we, you know, as you say, the banks are in a very fragile state, the deposits have left, there is a new memorandum that's starting to be implemented. What are the next steps? Can the memorandum be implemented, especially over, you know, a space of years, of 3 years or more by a party of the left? Will the government have the support of the party? Is there room to maneuver?
I have to tell you my personal feeling. The government has put me, and I think has put us all, in a very peculiar situation, in a schismatic situation, that is, in a rupture between our political views and our position, our stance as part of the working people, of the working majority, of the working class, and as members of Syriza, given that Syriza is the major government partner. According to what I have already discussed with you, the policy of this government is a policy in favor of capital, is a policy that promotes the neoliberal agenda, that is a policy and a government that is, by definition, against what Syriza believes and what this 61.3% of the people have demanded. So it's not a problem of Syriza alone. It's more than that, a problem of these people who have been mobilized in the past months, but also during the last weeks, in order to support the no vote in the memorandum. It's a question that these people, the 61.3% of the Greek electorate, has, and I am part of this 61%. What shall we do now? My answer, my definite answer, is that I'm going to fight with this 61.3% and all the other people who are going to come, because if we didn't have the terror situation, the terrorization of the population through the closed banks and so on, this 61% would be something more. So I have definitely decided that I belong to this part of the society, and I'm going to continue fighting against austerity and the government measures which resemble are like the measures of previous governments. This is the one side. The other side is that I don't want to see a split in the party. I want to take part in the discussions which now open. As you have seen, the majority of the Central Committee, that is comrades from all fractions or nearly all these streams, political and ideological streams, which continue to support the no stance and say to the government, you have to find another way out of this crisis by not signing this memorandum. I'm sure that the government has made its decision, it's going to sign, and so the situation is very difficult. I don't want the austerity to go on with the Syriza government, but at the same time, I don't want a split of Syriza. This is a very difficult situation. This is something that can be, it's an enigma that can be answered by one person. We have to discuss and to hear the people, to discuss with the people, to discuss in the party. I'm not pessimistic, but on the other hand, if the people take their future in their hands, I think that all the puzzles can be answered, can be solved. Is this situation, which is very bad, a very harsh situation, and a very big disappointment for the people who have believed in Syriza. But can this situation function as a starting point of another course where the people themselves in relations and initiatives of direct democracy start taking their future and their present in their hands, start creating new decision-making, but also productive schemes and structures, putting into use again the factories and the other enterprises which remain closed due to the crisis. Are we going to have a movement from below? This is what we need now, I think, which is going not only to put pressure on the government, saying, you people in the government, please change the course, we have voted for something else, but also start changing the society itself by practically putting an end to the neoliberal agenda, putting forward different policies by challenging capitalism itself.
But how is this related to sort of this very concrete debate about the euro, both as it is now and as it has been previously, which was, you know, a big sort of, again, when doctrinal sort of debate within Syriza, within other parts of the European left? It seems like by not talking about it, it seems like you're almost suggesting as if that's a secondary kind of question.
Yes, this is what I believe. I believe that austerity and neoliberalism, policies which have started from Chile and Great Britain, are not a matter of, are not an issue of the Eurozone alone. So if one country changes the currency, the working class of this country does not come to power, does not become more strong, does not end austerity and changes does not take another course. So this is my first general answer. Of course, I have already discussed with you that especially the Eurozone plays an important role in promoting or stabilizing neoliberalism. But the actual question is a political movement and a mass movement which puts an end to these policies and brings forward another strategy. If this strategy passes through an exit from the Eurozone, I don't see why this would be a problem. However, the problem that the Greek working class faces now and the other working classes in the Eurozone, but Greece has the Greek capitalism has the more acute problem right now, is not a technical problem, is not a monetary problem, is not an issue which can be resolved by a different technical rearrangement of some things in the economic or political edifice of the country. And to this belongs the alternative currency. I can very much imagine a situation where the country cannot find necessary currency deposits in order to support the exchange rate of the new currency and takes it through a loan by the Eurozone or others. Any loan in the present phase of capitalism means memorandum of austerity. So who is going to finance the country in order to be able to support the exchange rate of the new currency? Second, devaluation of the new currency is going to favor, most probably, the exporters. But the working class does not belong to the exporters.
No, they need fuel, food, and medicine.
Yes, the exporters are big capitalists, and they are going to raise their profitability. Okay, but is this the way? That is a similar way with the so-called internal devaluation by cutting wages. It is going to, are they going to increase our wages because they have more profits? We have never seen such a situation in the whole history. If we read the first volume of Capital, we are going to see that in all conjunctures of crisis, we had a very high increase in unemployment, an abrupt fall in wages, concentration and centralization of capital, and disastrous situations for the working class, sometimes deaths from hunger, mass deaths of hunger, I mean. It's not to find a trick in order to make Greek capitalism more effective. On the other hand, I didn't tell you this number about the 250 billion euros, which is the net financial position of Greek households. I told you in order to show that prosperous and wealthy people and much more big enterprises, which are not counted in this account of the net financial position of households. So big enterprises and wealthy people have already sent their money abroad. This is this fraction of the society, which is a minority, is going to be very much favored by a situation of a new devalued currency. The working class is going to face only the devaluation of its purchasing power, the reduction of its purchasing power. So if we need it in a course of change, of social change, because we create a situation where we can challenge neoliberalism and also capitalism. We are not going to stop in the fact that we have the euro. But then in such a situation, it may be something needed in order to support this course. But we have to start from this course, not vice versa. This is the way I regard it to be a secondary question, or if we speak not in theoretical terms but in political terms, that is, how to change the relation of political forces and social forces, I regard it to be a no issue, a no problem. I have the stance that I don't participate in discussions about the currency, because I think that it puts aside the major question, that is, how to overthrow this strategy of Greek and European capitalists all these years, who insist in promoting austerity.
That was my conversation with Syriza Central Committee member and economist John Milios. That's all for this week. Talk to you again in 2 weeks.